had hair. I see some haircuts I might like to try out, but I don't have any. Well, good to see all of you. Glad that you're here. Thank you for joining us online. Hopefully you found Boxcast because Facebook isn't working today. But so glad to have you. And if you get our emails, if you don't, you should sign up for them. Wait, Pastor Courtney, more are coming. I would encourage you to sign up because it keeps you in the loop. And hopefully, that's not a good sign. Hopefully you have read Habakkuk. I'm only going to say it a couple of times because the more you say it, the more likely it's to get what? Right, Brenda, get messed up. You know what I'm saying? When you're saying it to the kids, it's hard. But if you would turn to Habakkuk, and we are going to start there. And many have said to me, what in the world? Why are you preaching out of this? Well, it's kind of to take you down a depressing journey. And so that's my hope in this. So if you were looking for excitement today, we just had it. You know what I'm saying? Are you okay with that? I'm just kidding. Grab your Bibles, head to Habakkuk, and stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to start right out in chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to look at just a couple of verses to kind of start this out. Next Sunday, obviously, Dr. Busick will be with us and presenting us the Word. And then the Sunday after, we will continue this. So I'm not going to let it all out today. So if you're hoping for a beginning and an end today, you're not getting it. We're going to take a little journey, go a little bit different through this. And so I hope that you'll journey with us. Starting in verse 1, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. I want you to just hold on to this. Oracle means burden. Are you all with me there? You all have burdens? I asked for a service and it seemed like everybody did. Do you all have a burden? All right, good. Do you have a burden at home? All right, good. Okay, well, not good, but good, right? Because you're going to be able to relate, okay? And so what I want you to see is I want you to read it a little bit differently. The burden that Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. So what I need you to know is that right now, what is he doing? He is looking around at what he sees. And how easy is it for us as humans to look around at what we see? And so here we see a great man of God, a prophet, okay, burdened and not looking, but looking. Remember we talked about David the last couple of weeks. He looked and not. Well, this is the opposite. He's looking and not looking. Oh, Lord. How long, I love the boldness, oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? It's kind of bold, right? You're talking to God, Creator, and he says, how long, not only does he say, am I going to speak to you, but how long are you not going to hear me? Talk about being wrapped up in what's happening around him. Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Pretty bold to go to God in this way, right? I don't think we often think, but he literally says, oh Lord, and he lays it out all the ways that God is not living up to what he thinks he should. You ever been in that place with people where they just tell you over and over again, Pastor, you're just not living up to my expectations? That's what Habakkuk is doing to God. Don't you love when God answers, though? You're not going to love this answer because it ain't that great. I'm just kidding. It's great, but it's confusing. So the Lord answers, look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded. I love this, for I am doing a work in your days. Basically, he's saying, I am doing a work in your days. Just relax, that you would not believe if I told you. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation. Now he's about to tell them all about the enemy and how he's raising up the enemy. Confusing, right? Not the answer we expect. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards. That's pretty swift, right? More fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swift to devour. They all come for violence. All their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own might is their God. Interesting response. That's the Lord to Habakkuk. God, right now, God, help eliminate the confusion. Help us. Help us, God, to look into you, to look to you for answers, to trust you, to hold on to you. And so today, God, I just ask that you would just speak in the life of your people. Lord, speak into their questions. Speak into their doubt. Speak into their unsuredness. And so today, God, we come against the enemy. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you would cast them out from here, from the homes that are represented. And we just pray today that your fullness would come. And so today, allow your spirit to rest and move in this place. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Despite the fact, you ever hear that statement? Despite the fact, you want to say it with me? Okay, so you didn't say it with me, but I'll let you just go, you know what I mean? But despite the fact, okay, that's a statement that we often use, right? We'll say things like, you know, this is kind of going on, but despite the fact that this is going on, I'm still gonna. And so interestingly enough, I want to kind of take you on this journey that despite the fact that you may feel like God is not present, or that you may feel like God is not working, or you may feel like God is not answering, he is still present. Okay? He is still present. It may not feel like it, and that's okay. In fact, God welcomed this prophet who was supposed to be a mouthpiece to come before him and lay it all out. And so today, I'm going to let you lay it all out for a little bit. Is that okay? You know, there's always got to be a stopping point. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so why God? Basically, the whole book is why God? All the things that you hate are happening. Injustice. Does God like injustice? Just say no, right? Does God like violence? No. He would prefer what? Peace. And so basically, I love this. I don't know if people do this to you, but they say everything that you're for, you know what I mean? And they say, well, why aren't you for it? Because it's like in that very moment, you're not like living it out. And here he's basically saying, God, you're really not living out these things. Why not? Pretty bold. Pretty interesting. Opposite of what we've been talking about recently. And so let's just take a little journey here to understand the situation. A question asked by Habakkuk in basically 640 BC. Some of you may say 606 BC or maybe 610 BC. There's different theories, but the bottom line is it's in this season. We also know that this would have been at the end of King Josiah's reign, and he was a good king. He loved the Lord. If you know your scriptures, you know that he was a good king. He went after the things that God wanted. And then we get to Jehoiakim, and if I'm saying that right, and he begins to what? Direct the people in ways that are not of God. The bottom line is that God, because we couldn't receive his leadership, he had to place leaders in systems because the people called out for that, right? And oftentimes the leaders that God appointed led them what? Astray. And so we have this good season. And then the good season transitions to a season of the leader, the king, leading people away from good things that God had instructed them to do. Church. I mean, I don't want to be too crazy, but we're living in a day where people, where leaders are leading us away from the things of God. And they're saying that they're good things, and they're not good things. Good things are found in the good book. And so we see this oracle, better known, translated as a burden, because obviously Habakkuk is not a part of the people that are turning away from God. Obviously, he is a part of the people that are remaining firm, standing firm. Something that, and I say this all the time, but like it just is what it is. When I was in the army, it was the first time I really experienced this, and I didn't really like it because I usually, okay, I'm not saying like that I'm great or anything, but I very rarely got in trouble in high school. I only got in trouble really at home, but at high school and stuff, like my parents taught us, like when you leave the house, okay, whatever drama, whatever mess, if you're going to smart off here, like all those, they can happen here, but we will tear you up, right? If it happens in church, if it happens at Aunt So-and-so's house, like just be prepared when you get in the car or I get the phone call from the teacher that you're going to be tore up, right? Is that okay to say? That's just, so when I left the house, what did I do? We behaved, because I knew when I returned, if I didn't, what the return would be like. You ever buy something, and you get it out of the package and you buy a microwave for your house and you realize that it's been all taken apart and it has a scratch and a, you know what happened to that, right? It got returned and it loads. This happened to us. They put it all back together and they polished it, but it didn't polish the many dents and scratches out. And you paid full price because they didn't put it on the back, you know, in Lowe's at the back area where they put the appliances that are all broken up. And someone must have what? Returned it. And then you open it up and there's butter on the left-hand side and you're pretty sure that it was returned, right? Church, here's the thing. God had not left them, but it felt like it. But it felt like, think about it. And so here we see this failure, this movement away, this burden on this man of God. Church, I asked you earlier if you had a burden, which I'm sure you do. And I'm sure you've had burdens over your lifetime. I want to encourage you today to think a little more like Habakkuk. You know what his burden was for? It wasn't for him. It was, where are you, God? I'm burdened because I see violence, because I see injustice, because now I see the people that used to be of you coming back, being returned to us in just condition that, church, you should be burdened. You should be burdened for the things that burden the Lord. It should hurt your heart when there's injustice. We should be the first ones there to promote love, mercy, grace, compassion. And so the king began to push people away, to lead in a way that wasn't good. So why do bad things happen if we serve a good God? That's the question of the year, right? I think every one of us at some point, if we were honest with ourselves, we have said to ourselves, why do good things happen to good people? Can y'all just say yes? I mean, you've got to admit that, like, at some point you've said, God, why do good things happen? This is Habakkuk. He's saying, why are bad things happening to us that are still faithful? Well, I guess the first question, this isn't going to be like point one, two, and three. We're going to take a journey together, so just go on the journey, then we'll end it today. We'll pick it back up after next week, and we'll just continue to journey until we get to his prayer, which closes out the book of Habakkuk. And so, can we ask ourselves this question? Can we trust God? You know, that's the question that Habakkuk was asking himself. God, can I really trust you? If you're really not for these things, then why are these things happening? And you say, well, Pastor, it's free will. That's the simple answer, right? That God didn't want a bunch of robots. He wanted, as much as he loves you, he wants you to love him back, and there be this intimate love relationship. And then he speaks into the marriage and says the same way that, I mean, he has a desire to love you. He also has a desire that you would love him back, like you love people, like you love stuff, like you like the world. He just wants you to love him and be all in. So the bottom line is, he's saying to God, can I really trust you? And I think if we were all honest with ourselves, and if we've had enough life to journey through and situations to walk through, we've probably said a couple of times, God, can we really trust you in this? Or do I need to revert back so I can take care of it? Because I know of a situation when, man, a bad thing happened to a good godly person. You know, we all know those people, right? They're sitting around you, some of them. Thankfully, they're sitting around you. So, y'all want to do a sword drill? You look so thrilled. You don't even know what that is. But anyway, sword drill, when I was a kid, you know, you learned the books of the Bible. And anyway, where's Genesis at? All right, two people with me. The beginning. In the beginning, I want you to go to chapter 3, okay? And I want to read just the first couple of things, because this is the introduction to the enemy, okay? And I want to see the first, and I want you to hold on to the first things that he says. So in Genesis chapter 3, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. This is key. This has been messing me up all week. He said to the woman, did God actually say? He said to the woman, did God actually say? Church, if you want to know about questioning God, if you want to know about why you're having these thoughts, go back to the very first lie, go back to the very first statement, go back to the very first introduction of the enemy, and he says, did God actually say? So when he comes into your life after sickness, when he comes into your life after a situation, when he comes into your life after death, and he says, did God actually say that he would bring you comfort? Did God actually say that eternity is? Did God actually say that? And then he starts to twist it and say, you know, as God's child, did you really deserve? Well, as God's child, how could he? Well, as God's child, if he really loves you, did he actually say he really loves you or just that he loves people? Maybe you're not included in that. Do you see how the enemy just, come on now, church. He started and he ain't new. The only thing that's new, the only thing that's fresh is what the Lord through the Holy Spirit and your salvation is doing. The enemy is not fresh. And so what did he do with Habakkuk? He said, well, did God really say he didn't like A, B, C? Did God really say he was going to intervene in A, B, C? Did God actually say? I believe those words infuriate God. I believe those words just, if you want to talk about good godly anger, I'm going to say when you use those words and let the enemy speak those words into you, I'm going to say that God is ready to come in with his spirit and correct it, change it, direct it in a different direction, because you know what he doesn't want? He doesn't want you getting caught back up in the first lie. The first lie. Because you know what the enemy's doing? He just keeps on using that first lie. Did God actually say that he loved you? Did God actually say he was against that? Did God actually say that's not good for you? Did God actually say that you don't need to? Come on, y'all, that's just... And so, once again, the enemy is deceiving Habakkuk, and he's looking around. And you know what happens, y'all, when you look around? You don't look up. You don't look up. Jesus is always calling us to look up, to look to draw in. Many of you here today, you are being drawn, but not drawn up. You're being drawn in. Your eyes are. And so all you can see is the injustice, the violence, the moment when God didn't do what you thought. And I said, it's okay to say those things. So think about why do bad things happen to good people? These first words were a lament, a prayer, and ask for understanding. In fact, it's a big why. Like, why, God? Come on. I've asked the same thing. I've been in situations, and I sit in front of my wife, and I say, honey, why? She's like, have we not established this? I'm like, well, we have, but I like to say it. You know what I mean? Repeat myself. You all like to repeat yourselves? Come on now. You know when you don't get your point across, and nobody, everybody looks at you and like, oh, there she or he goes again, right? And you want to just say it again even stronger so they get it. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. I do that all the time because my wife looks at me like, I think you've said this before. I'm like, honey, I've been saying it for 12 years. I'm going to keep on saying it. So, but think about it. This is very similar. In fact, they say this is in relation to Psalm 22, a why to God, and then also the moments when Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? All spoken in the same, the three combined, they work together. Thought you weren't going to get any theology today. Well, there you go. So let's talk about this for a second, what his role is. So Habakkuk is a prophet, and so he's a prophetic mediator between people and God. And so people would give him a message, or God would give him a message, right? And then he would go give it to the people. Interestingly enough, Habakkuk here, he decided to go to God to get a message to give to the people. Instead of just like, you know, where Jonah got the message, he didn't like the message and worked around the message and then did the message. And then after doing the message, oh my goodness, I was doing that with the girls this week, so it's on my mind. And I skipped the last part. Well, you know, now my children read, and so you can't do all the skipping. You know what I'm saying? I was ready for bed. And so anyway, I skipped the last part where it said Jonah, what? He was mad that God healed him. You know, some of you, you pray for people. I don't understand it. You pray for people. I pray for them with you. They come around and they get on fire for God, and all of a sudden you got something stuck up here. I'm like, why are you upset? Well, now they're trying to tell me about my God. I'm like, well, praise God. They got the original salvation excitement. Maybe you need some of that back. Maybe you need not complain for what you prayed for. Do you know what I'm saying? It came around. Well, praise God. So anyway, this week I had to finish the story, which was Jonah did what? He got a little something, and he got a little upset because those people actually turned away from their wicked ways and turned to God, and he sat up and watched, and my girls were like, well, why wouldn't he want? I mean, they just didn't understand. Why didn't he want? I mean, didn't he love God? I'm like, yeah. And, well, then why didn't he want them to like not die and not? I said, babe, I don't know. But I said, what I do know, it has everything to do with selfishness. He was selfish. They don't deserve it. I'm God's child, not them. And you tell me the Old Testament doesn't talk about it's welcome for all, y'all. And so Jesus, well, he's the mediator between God and his people. Right now he's mediating on your behalf. You don't realize that you're here. This is an ordained time. This is the first of the week. You've gifted the first of your week to the Lord, and Jesus is going to God on your behalf. So kind of similar roles here. And yet Habakkuk kind of flipped it a little bit, and he started to look around. Instead of waiting for, he looked around. Because he wanted God, come on, give me the message. So he went to God first and said, here's what's going on. You know God knew, right? You know when you go to him sometimes and you act like he don't know, he knows. He's fine with you telling him, okay? But I think it's funny that we think he doesn't know. He knows. And so he looked around, and all he could see was what was around him. And so he took what was around him and brought it to God. And he said, come on, God. Why are you allowing this? Why is this happening? And so in order to really understand the current, what do we have to do oftentimes? We have to go to the past. And I kind of reviewed it with you for a second in the beginning. You got to look at the past. You have to look at where you are currently, because where you are spiritually currently will be your trajectory for the next steps. And so if you look at the past, the people of God were what? I mean, what are the people of God now? Interestingly enough, I was reading this week and out of the Wesleyan commentary in the Beacon Hill, and they were talking about the fact that at this time there was just a remnant. What's a remnant? It's like when you have birthday cake and all these little kids who don't eat their cake anyway, they all eat it. And they eat like two pieces, and we give them a big piece, and then at the end, there's just a tiny bit left for me to eat, but there's all these plates, right, with like just a tiny bit of cake eaten out of it that I want to eat, you know what I'm saying, because we only have a remnant left, but I don't trust these little kids and all their germs, so I don't eat their cake, and I just eat the remnant, because my wife says, this isn't about you, it's about the children, okay, and so I'm like, okay, but I need my cake too, but anyway, and I look at all those plates and say, Lord, I mean, you know, if I can trust you, I might just eat a couple of, I mean, I know this kid, so I might eat after, but anyway, I don't. So I don't need it anyway. So thankfully, chocolate chip cookies just show up. So, but here's the thing. If you look at the fact that this is a remnant, that means it's not the what? Majority. So the nation has shifted. So even the people of God, see, Habakkuk was not just talking about the outsiders. You know what he's talking about? The church going after the church. Y'all ever been in a situation, there's lots of people that aren't in church today because the church went after the church, and so they went outside the church. And then the church wants them to hear truth. I don't know. I hope they're reading this to find it. So not only is he talking about they're coming after me, but they're coming after me. And not only me, but they're coming after each other. And now the king is actually leading them in a direction that's not, where are you, God? And so in order to know where God is, you've got to know the past. Well, the past is they're not faithful. And so you wonder, okay, well, it's not always that we're not faithful, and Habakkuk's problem was, I'm part of the remnant. But here's what happens. I told this in first service. There's such a small percentage of people now that go to church on Sunday mornings. Before COVID, they had it at about 20% to 22%, and that's just anybody. That's not faithful. So they consider faithful like active attenders 2 to 3 times more, which isn't that much. You know, 3 times a church a month, that's not a ton, but hey, that's something. That would be about 10 to 12%. Well, now they say it's lower than that. So today, along with you, about 10% of the nation attends church. Now, I'm not saying that everything's in church, but there is something in church because the Bible says there is. There is something to gathering because the Bible says there is. There is something to coming together and being encouraged and challenged and then sent out. There is something to it that's beyond the pastor standing here. There was something to it when Pastor Cable was here. And so here's the problem. Well, the remnant's being affected. Yeah. You know, when 90% of the people are not following Christ, you've got to expect some evil. But here's the crazy thing. Let's switch a little bit and review this, and then let's talk about something at the end here. Injustice, that was his current view. Many of you are in situations where your current view is injustice. We have a little situation, you know, things that you step into that you know you're stepping into, and like you don't realize the injustice in a system, and then you start to learn it and see it, and it's like, okay, I got to stay focused on why we're doing this and where we're. So his current view is injustice, and for many of you, your current view is injustice. Maybe there's something happening towards you that's not just. Or maybe just society in general. His current view was injustice, and he served the just God. Then unity. Man, unity is a huge one in the church. Like, God actually intends the church to be unified. That's kind of surprising, right? He wants us to be unified. He wants us to be on the same page. And he was looking around and saying, ain't nobody on the same page. It's just this small remnant on the same page. So, God, get us back on the same page. But see, evil had grown, and it had grown. So, you know, how do we expect our nation to be on the same page? If he's given us free will, let's get on the same page, and there's 10% of us on the same page. Y'all better do a lot of talking. Do you know what I'm saying? Because if it's dependent on the 10% in Anderson that sit in, I mean, in Muncie and Pendleton, and you got a lot of work to do. And many of you don't talk about Jesus between Sundays. You talk about church, not Jesus, and what Jesus is doing in your heart. And so unity was nowhere in the army. I started this, and I forgot it on first service, but I'm in the army. One of the things that I couldn't stand was that if someone did something wrong, and they taught us this in basic, okay? If somebody did something wrong, I don't understand this because I was a good kid. I did the right things. I always knew to behave myself. And so I would just, if the sergeant said it, I just did it, right? I mean, you just do it. You're there, you signed up, you signed your life over, you do it. And someone would do something wrong, and guess who paid for it? Every one of us. I mean, if it were 3 a.m, they would wake us up and we would pay for it, and then we would never go back to bed until the next night at midnight, and then we would get up at 4 and start again. And I was older when I went, and I said, look, you know, I started to get with the people that were making things rough. Because I really don't care what you think about me. I'm a little more sensitive in the church because y'all are volunteers, but we were all paid. You know what I'm saying? And so I just went to them and said, why are you like, you know the rule, you know what's going to happen. What are you trying to tell me? Yeah, I'm trying to tell you. What, are you going to fight me here? Do you know what I'm saying? And eventually those people became my greatest friends. Because I was willing to stand up to them and say, I may look like a pushover, but I wasn't brought out to be one. And so if you're going to do the wrong thing, I need you to stop. And the first couple of times it didn't go over well, but eventually it did. Because what happened was is that if one of us did something wrong, we were all, and they would come in and say, it's okay, you think it's okay here, but we're not training you for here. Church, you may think it's okay right now to be disunified with one another, but guess what we're not being trained for? The now. God's actually preparing us for eternity where we better come together. We better not look at differences. We better not look at color. We better not look at background. We better not look at societal, because I'm preparing you for eternity. not for right now. We get so focused and that we're prepared for the next week, the next month, and God is doing something so much bigger. He wants us unified as a church now, because I don't know that he can bring disunity into heaven. Because if heaven's the place that I hope for, that I strive for, that I look to, that I teach my children about, then how can disunity be there? The army had something. They said, how can we go to the battlefield and y'all don't get along? Put it aside. They would always bring us back in and say, you know what? If y'all can't get along and do the right thing now, when there's missiles in your direction, because we were a missile unit, I just supported them. But when they're facing your direction and you're fighting, what good are you? And then we go about our day. And church, we have an even greater mission. And so if we're disunified, dissatisfied, disconnected now, then are we really ready for eternity? Then he said, my prayers aren't being answered because you're not answering the way I want you to. And this is just a tiny glimpse into the next week. In verse 12, after God had answered the very strange answer he answered, Habakkuk just said, well, I'm going to get back to my point. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? And then he starts to tell God about himself. I don't know that God likes that. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me tell you about you. Now, you know what? Okay, you told me about evil. Now I'm going to tell you, are you not from everlasting, O Lord? I mean, that's bold, right? I wouldn't suggest it. I encourage you to be bold, but maybe not like that. But something inside of Habakkuk remains true throughout this whole thing. He knows deep inside that God is doing something. He knows deep inside that even amongst his, that he can trust him, that he can hold on to him. There is a realization amongst the people that they didn't need God, but that realization was not Habakkuk. He knew he needed God. He knew they needed God. And so there was something underlying here that was working. And so I want to switch here for a second and tell you what you should wrestle with. Is that okay if I could just shoot all over you? Is that all right? Okay. I didn't mean that in a like, but I meant, because I had my whole life people shooting all over me. You know what I mean? Like, you should do this or you shouldn't do that. And wrestle with evil, not God. Church, you know how much time we spend wrestling with God? Why? Why? Why can't you? Why won't you? Do you know that half of those prayers that we ask him, if he answered them, you know what he would have to do? He would have to pluck your free will out, and I don't know what you would look like then. We have societies where they pluck your free will out and make you do what you're told. Some of them volunteered. The army said, I mean, in the paperwork we signed, they pointed out, and they literally said, like, you have to understand you're not yours. Are you okay with this? Like, you become ours. I'm like, I guess. Because who really wants to sign that? You know what I mean? But here's the thing. I want you to wrestle with evil, not God. Because evil is the reason for sickness, for stuff. Don't tell me evil's not growing. Evil is a being, and evil does what? If you open the door to sin, all it does is grow. Okay, it's like a weed. All it does is grow. And so evil in society over the years, you know what it does? Man, it goes from a good king. You know, he was such a good king. Then all of a sudden the new king comes in, and it's like he unleashed a little bit of leverage. Let's be a little free, you know? And then all of a sudden that freedom did what? It pushed so much that the actual faithful people became the remnant, which is the leftovers. Evil grows. Why do we keep coming up with new sicknesses? Because the enemy doesn't actually like you. And the enemy doesn't like your health, because you assign health with God's presence. And so if he can get to your health, then you now don't trust God. Why don't you wrestle with evil instead of God when stuff comes your way? Why was Habakkuk looking around instead of looking up? Wrestling with evil becomes our focus, which turns to battling evil. If you start recognizing the author of lies, if you start recognizing the author of destruction, God actually gave us bodies that are beautiful and perfect. And you know what he said to us? He said, now you've got this that you're in right now, but I'm going to give you a new one, a glorified one, that will sustain you for all of time. And so why aren't we turning our battle, turning our anger? You know how many times people go through stuff in life and they abandon the faith because they're mad at God? I'm okay with you being mad at God. That's okay because he can handle it. But when you live in it and then you start blaming him, when actually if you look pre the sentence that I said today from Genesis 3, he actually has a very different plan for you than the current. And so why not turn your attention into battling evil? Wrestling with evil in our world will be present when we are serving God actively. And when we wrestle with evil, we remind ourselves of the characteristics of God, which were actually created before Genesis chapter 3. The characteristics of God is like, he looked at man and said, well, I don't want him alone. These animals are beautiful. It's good. In fact, he looked at it all and said, this is good. And I've given you dominion over it. See, the characteristics of God are care and concern. God doesn't want you lonely. He doesn't want you. And so we come to the remnant. In church, unfortunately, you just got to be honest with yourselves. In America, you are a remnant. You just are. And so, yes, evil's all over. Hello? Yes, it's growing. Hello? If you just found that out today, then surprise. If you just realize that today you're part of a remnant, you are. But see, we in the church walk around and look at each other because we're looking together, right? And we just think it's all of, pretty sure if I went to all your jobs, you'd a remnant there too. But you're also the light, right? You're the hope. You're the speaker. You're the mouthpiece. You hold the presence of God. See, what happened was Habakkuk got so focused in the why, he didn't stand up and start battling the enemy. Okay, you ready for this? I like this part. His name means wrestler. Now, in the East, in my family that watches, I'm going to say it like I'm supposed to, which is wrestler, okay? And in the East, they call it wrestler and wrestling, and so that's a big thing in the East. There's certain things that are just big there, and so I was never a wrestler. I just really don't feel like it, to be honest. I'm not into wrestling with you and going all over the floor and trying to hurt myself. And I'm especially over it now because I'm trying to save it all. Knees, hips, shoulders, you know what I'm saying? Like, just save it. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't go wrestling. Don't go fighting. Those days are over, okay? But his name means wrestler. Man, come on now. God knows what he's doing. Go ahead and wrestle with me, but learn something. And so God's response, you can go home and read it again. You could read it in any translation you want. It's still going to be a little strange, okay? So if you're expecting for like, I'm coming on the, but let's think about timing, okay? All right, let's think about timing. Six, whatever you fall under, whatever theological camp, so 608 BC, 660 BC, and if time is like a blink of an eye in heaven as it is on earth, you know how close that was and what preparation was happening in heaven for his son to be separated from glory and to come down. This is in the season of preparation for the son to come. So you know what he said to him, right? He said, look, wait. You ever been told to wait? Well, go to the BMV. You'll be told to wait tomorrow. Well, they're closed tomorrow, so that's probably why you got to wait. But they're open on Tuesday. I got it on my mind because all my vehicles are out. Please, I don't want to get pulled over. Okay. God said in his response, wait. We love waiting. Then he said, and I like this, consider who I am. You know what that was? Habakkuk, be quiet. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I am? Do you know what I've done? Do you know what you stand on? Do you know if you look out who created? Do you know, he said, look at who I am. Because see, Habakkuk did the opposite of the Invoke series where David looked up first. He didn't look up. And many of you aren't looking up. And he said, consider who I am. And I love this. You ever do this with your kids or somebody you're just done with? Shh. I've gotten really good at it. I can do it so loud. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can do it in the kitchen and they hear it in the living room. It is only like 2 feet away now. But anyway, I can like, shh, and it's, you know, they all know, like. He looked at him and, I know about your enemy. Let me tell you about your enemy. Their horses are even nice. Do you see? God responded and said, their horses are even strong. But he said, I am doing something that if I told you, you wouldn't even believe. Whew. You know what that was, right? Getting ready to separate from his son. Come on now. He said, Habakkuk, you don't even know what's going on up here because you ain't looking up here. I'm getting ready to say goodbye to my son, and you're calling me about, aren't you the prophet that's supposed to receive from? Why don't you get mad at evil? Why don't you stand up and start looking at that and saying, why not when the person comes, you say, I don't want no more of that. Take that gossip somewhere else. And so, he says, you don't even know what I'm doing and what I'm getting prepared for. And then he went on to say, we read it today, and if you did, you couldn't handle it anyway. So you wonder why sometimes God is silent. You know what God's preparing for now, right? The next. There's some things that are going to happen. You may meet him before or after, I don't know. Who knows when he's coming? But if we look at our time and the time that the Lord understands, it's different. And so I'm pretty sure he's preparing for. Are you prepared for? Are you waiting? Are you considering who he is? And are you okay with just keeping silent and recognizing where suffering comes from? It doesn't come from God. It comes from the enemy. And so I guess the first step in this, my hope for you in this, is that you know what? Bad things are going to happen to the remnant. But you know the truth today is, God has not left us. He's not left you. It may feel like it in moments, but you know what he's doing? He's preparing the room. He's preparing the space. He's preparing the second coming. He's preparing you a body that will no longer make you question him. God, let us have faith. Let us have faith in the unseen work of your hand. Let us not question you. Let our focus of anger, disappointment, frustration be aimed towards the author of all that, who seeks, as I say all the time, to kill, steal, and destroy. Let us push all that in that direction. And let us seek you. Let us wait for you. Let us stand in confidence that you're doing something in the unseen that if we could see, I don't really think we could understand. And I think in a way, it's your protection over us until we're ready. But in that waiting, let us not become impatient. Let us not turn away. Let us not seek things that will only be temporary in the midst of looking around. God, we love you. We're so thankful for you. Help us as we lead into this week. God, help us to seek your face and your plan in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great afternoon.